Today we're going to continue in a series of sermons, and this is the last one in the series, actually, on the art of being a neighbor, about hospitality. And the passage that we're going to read together is taken from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. I invite you to turn there and follow along as I read aloud from Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. May God bless to us this reading and hearing of his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, as we conclude this series of sermons on the art of being a neighbor and think about what radical hospitality might look like, as we reflect upon this particular passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews, and Lord, as we begin to lean into the fall and seek to be open to all that you have desired for us in the coming school year, we pray for the presence of your Spirit to guide and direct the words that I would share, the thoughts that we would have, but more importantly, the lives that we desire to live. May yours be the loudest voice that is heard in this room today, and we look for you to speak. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many friends would you say that you have? Now, I don't mean friends on Facebook. I mean actual, real friends. How many? 20? 12? 5? 2? How about none? According to a recent survey, millennials, 22% of millennials say that they have no friends at all. Zero. Zilch. Nada. 27% said they have no close friends, and 25% even said they don't have any acquaintances. Think about that. Nearly one-third of all of those who were surveyed reported that they feel lonely. In the study, many Gen Xers and baby boomers also reported some of the very same feelings, but at lower percentages. No matter how you slice it, this study reveals that loneliness is a big problem in America today. Other studies that have been conducted in recent years indicate that as a person ages, that they battle loneliness more and more. It's not uncommon for 70 and 80 and 90-year-olds to also feel very lonely, especially as friends begin to pass away. But the findings on millennials, I must say, are startling. Why is it that fully one-fifth of 20 and 30-somethings say that they have no friends at all? They are the most digitally connected generation in history. But apparently, they are also the loneliest. How do you battle loneliness? How do you deal with this sort of situation? I believe that one of the solutions to address the problem in the world today is the ministry of hospitality in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me explain what I mean. Now, the Bible talks a whole lot about hospitality. Now, in the passage that we've read this morning, the author of Hebrews makes a reference to the patriarch Abraham and his wife Sarah and how they extended hospitality to some unexpected guests. Back in the book of Genesis, in chapter 18, we read where Abraham was sitting at the entrance of his tent one day when the text says that he looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them, and he bowed down low to the ground. And then he said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, please come and do not pass by your servant. Let me get some water so that you can wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat and so that you can be refreshed, and then you can go on your way. Now, who were these three people? Why did they come to visit Abraham and Sarah? Later on in chapter 19, we read that two of the individuals are actually identified as angels of the Lord, and they traveled on to Sodom where they visited Abraham's nephew, Lot. It appears that these angels were sent by God in order to be his messengers for a specific task, and they appeared in the form of human beings. Abraham evidently didn't realize who he was talking to at the beginning, and he simply offered them hospitality in a very kind and gracious way. The ministry of hospitality is emphasized over and over again in both the Old and the New Testaments. For example, Job said that the sojourner had not lodged in my street. I have opened my doors to the traveler. The prophet Elisha enjoyed the hospitality of a wealthy woman in the town of Shunem, and whenever he passed by there, he would stop and enjoy a meal in her home. Eventually, she and her husband built a guest room for the prophet on the roof of their house. We also read in the book of Acts that in the early church that they gathered together regularly in the temple courts for worship, and they broke bread and enjoyed meals together in one another's homes. And the Bible says there was not a needy one among them. The Apostle Paul urged the Christians in Rome to be given to hospitality. The Apostle John wrote two epistles which centered on this particular theme. And in the Epistle to the Hebrews, which we have read together today, we are given the exhortation, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some people have entertained angels without knowing it." Every follower of Jesus is urged to practice hospitality and to reach beyond their comfort zone in order to show the love and the grace of Jesus Christ to other people. It can be as simple as inviting the youth group over to your house for ice cream, or you can practice hospitality by asking someone to lunch that you have recently met. You can take a meal to a new family who just moved into your neighborhood, or you can be a host family for a Winston-Salem fellow or an intern in our church. After the worship service today, make it a point to talk to two people that you don't know already before you speak to anyone that you are already acquainted with. In a myriad of ways, you and I can do simple things to be the hands and feet of Jesus and extend the hospitality of grace in your normal life. And the Bible says that there is great value whenever you and I do it. Now, I've discovered that there's actually a big difference between being friendly and extending hospitality. Being warm and friendly doesn't demand a whole lot of you, but hospitality means making a seat for someone at the table or time in your schedule. It requires some sacrifice. It involves rearranging your priorities and how you spend your time. And it also involves developing an eye for the stranger and making room for the newcomer. Some people are more naturally given to hospitality than others. For some people, it isn't easy for them to open their home or to invite people into their lives or even to break into a new circle of friends. However, not everyone is an extrovert. And most of us, it takes a whole lot for us to put ourselves out there, and we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid that our efforts won't be well received or welcome. But we can't let our personalities get in the way of living out the demands of the gospel. And each of us is invited by God to join him on his mission of love and engage in the ministry of hospitality. I've observed that most people desire community. They try to build a group of friends. And when they get that established and put into place, for most people, it doesn't naturally occur to them that they need to make room for outsiders. It's not that they intend to be exclusive. It's just that they've already got their group. They've got their peeps. And it's easy to become inwardly focused and unintentionally exclusive if we're not careful. Let me give you an example. When Lori and I moved to take a new job as an associate pastor in another church in another city many years ago, we were very warmly welcomed into the life of that congregation. Everyone was incredibly friendly, and the early days of our time there were filled with many gestures of kindness and welcome. However, after we had been there a while, we noticed that it was more difficult than we expected to actually break into established circles of friendship. Most of the people had been in that community for a number of years, and their friendships were pretty well set. No one was rude to us. They didn't intentionally exclude us. It's just that they didn't make room for a new relationship in their circle. That's when I realized there's a big difference between being friendly and welcoming and genuine hospitality. As I said before, hospitality makes a seat at the table. Come, join us. Be here. We want you to be included. And it also means making time in your schedule. What can I do to help you? When can I come and support you? You know, as I think about these things, it opens the circle of friends and welcomes the newcomer. How can you and I do that more? If you study hospitality in the Bible very closely, you'll discover that it's actually quite radical. The Greek word that is translated hospitality in our text is the word philoxenia. It comes from two Greek words, phileo, which means to love, and xenia, which means stranger. Literally, the word means love of stranger. Christian hospitality involves welcoming and loving strangers. In our day when many in the world are urging us to be afraid of strangers and of those who are different from us or who come from a different part of the world, I find it both arresting and convicting that the Bible counters that notion and urges us as followers of Jesus to actually seek out strangers and to love them. I'm so proud of the way in which our church has welcomed the Mustafa family into Winston-Salem and has helped get them involved in getting settled into the life of our city here in America. And many of you have been involved in many ways to help that make that happen. But really only about 50 people in our church have actually been a part of the Good Neighbor team. What about the rest of us? What are we doing to welcome the stranger in our lives? We can't leave it to others to fulfill this calling in Christ. It's up to each of us to be the hands and feet of Jesus ourselves. I believe that many times Jesus comes to us in the form of a stranger, just like God visited Abraham and Sarah in our passage today. But oftentimes we're too busy, or we're too tired, or we're too afraid of making a mistake that we either refuse him altogether or we treat him so badly that he passes by unobserved to carry the blessing that he would have given to us on to someone else. Jesus told his disciples that whenever they gave a cup of cold water or provided clothing or visited someone that the world considered the least of these, that they were doing it for him. Perhaps more than any other person in our generation, Mother Teresa learned and lived this truth. She always saw herself, she always saw Jesus himself in the poor and the dying people in the streets of Calcutta to whom she ministered. She once said, "My secret is quite simple. I pray and through my prayer, I become one in love with Christ and see that praying to him is to love him, and that means for me to fulfill his words. Remember the words of St. Matthew's Gospel. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. My poor ones in the world's slums are like the suffering Christ. In them God's Son lives and dies, and through them God shows me his true face. If we pray, we will believe. If we believe, we will love. If we love, we will serve. Only then can we put our love for God into living action through services to Christ, who comes to us in the distressing disguise of the poor. Now, none of us is Mother Teresa, I'll grant you that. And I don't mean to hold her up as the standard for Christian hospitality. That's a pretty high bar. But I do believe that all of us have a calling to follow her example in reaching out in the name of Jesus to the stranger in our midst and to offer them the kindness and the grace of the Lord. And I believe that in so doing, we will be actually offering it to Christ himself, and perhaps we will actually entertain angels without even knowing it. What can you do this fall to welcome the stranger into your life? How is God calling you to extend yourself and to step out in faith? Well, ultimately, the biggest reason that we would want to grow in the ministry of hospitality is because of the hospitality of Jesus. I mean, you think about his life and ministry, Jesus was always inviting people to do things. I mean, he walked by the Sea of Galilee and he said to Peter, James, and John, come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Someone said to him, where are you going? He said, come and see. Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and experiencing heavy burdens. I'll give you rest. He welcomed little children when others wanted to shoo them away. And the last night that Jesus was with his disciples, he welcomed them and shared a meal which we continue to celebrate today as the Lord's Supper. Jesus had a ministry of hospitality. He also kept an eye out for those who were on the margins. He noticed Zacchaeus, who was up in the sycamore tree, and he told them that he wanted to have dinner with them that night. He also struck up a conversation with a woman at the well in a Samaritan village, and he offered to her the living water of salvation. And he told his followers that in heaven there would be many rooms for them in his heavenly home, and that he was going away to prepare a place for them so that they could join him there one day. Jesus invites you and me to join him in his radical ministry of hospitality today. The Apostle Paul wrote in his epistle to the Romans, "Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." That's why we put ourselves out there and move beyond our comfort zones. That's why we develop an eye for the stranger and the newcomer. It's because Jesus has welcomed us into his kingdom. He made a seat for us at the table of communion for you and me so that we could enjoy fellowship with him now and for all times. He made time for us in order to come and rescue us, in order to bring about our salvation. And when we were on the outside, when we were looking in, completely lost in our brokenness and our sin, Jesus made a way for us through his sacrificial love. Thanks be to God that Christ made a seat for us at his table and time for us in his schedule. He can do the same for others. How can we do the same? You know, I started this sermon by talking about how there's a problem of loneliness in America today. This week, freshmen will begin to arrive in town to attend Wake Forest University and the School of the Arts and other colleges and universities. Or perhaps you're getting ready yourself to head off to go to school somewhere else this fall. I remember the first day I went to grad school many years ago. I'd driven 1,000 miles from my home in Atlanta to the North Shore of Boston to attend Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. I didn't know a soul when I arrived, and I was a long way from home. And having never lived for any length of time outside of the South, I remember sitting in my dorm room that first evening wondering, what in the world have I gotten myself into? Everybody there spoke with a weird accent. Pack your car in the Harvard yard. I felt so out of place. I felt so alone. Just then, there was a knock at my door. It was Mike Godders and Jim Thorpe, two guys that I had met briefly when I was unloading my car and checking in. Mike was the RA on our floor, and Jim was also a resident in that dorm. And they said to me, hey, we're going to Nick's Roast Beef for dinner. Have you ever been there? No? Oh, you got to come with us. It's the best sandwich in Boston. Well, we got into Mike's car, and we drove to Nick's Roast Beef, and there I ate the best sandwich I have ever placed in my mouth before or since. It was incredible. And we talked over dinner, and they peppered me with questions about my life. It seemed as though they were really interested in getting to know me. They seemed so mature, so far along in their walks with Christ. And I was blown away by their warmth and their friendship. Then we drove to Singing Beach nearby. And I remember standing on the sand, looking out at the expanse of the Atlantic Ocean. And I prayed silently, thank you, Lord, for bringing me here to Boston. And thank you for Mike and Jim and the kindness of their hospitality. And thank you for Nick's Roast Beef. That is the most awesome sandwich on the planet. Maybe you have a story like that. A time when you were invited to attend a special event or you were included into a new circle of friends. Do you remember how it felt? Do you remember what it was like to belong? What it like to feel included? All of us long for community, every single one of us. But nowadays, it's harder and harder to find it, isn't it? We all feel alone at times, and that's true whether you're a millennial or not. It's one of the reasons why a missional church like ours needs to extend the ministry of hospitality all the more. When you come right down to it, it's the art of being a good neighbor. Amen? Let's pray together. Great Father in heaven, thank you for these words of counsel about how to live a flourishing life. And we pray, Lord, that you would stir in each one of us a desire to conform our lives to the truths that we've heard today. We pray, Lord, that you would even place upon our hearts, even now, that one individual, perhaps, that we need to make a seat at the table for, or time on our schedule. That one person that this fall we will have an eye for and make time for. And help this church, Lord, to continue to cultivate a heart for those on the margins of our community and to do what we can to tear down the walls that separate people, to be ones who build bridges of understanding, of love and support, and truly evidence a ministry of radical hospitality. Thank you for this congregation, Lord, and for the ways in which it leans into the truths of Scripture. May we take these things seriously and ask the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. And we'll thank you for that in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.